Hello and hi, welcome to another Slice of Sci-Fi. I am Summer Brooks, and my guest today is the program director for the International Horror and Sci-Fi Film Festival, which has become a staple here in the Valley every year, and is a major part of the larger Phoenix Film Festival, handling all the night programming and sci-fi and horror fun that, because let's face it, horror and sci-fi people have better parties than those regular film festival snobs, right?
They sure do.
My guest is Monty Yazzi, the new program director. Do you know what you've jumped into?
Yes. I've jumped into an avenue where I have to please every taste and quality of film from sort of horror and sci-fi, and it's daunting.
So what should attendees expect this year from both the horror and the sci-fi tracks?
Our goal every year is to try to get as diverse of a program as we can. And the programmers that we have that help out on both sides, horror and sci-fi, work tirelessly to try to find diversity. Sometimes it's hard because of the quality of films that we're getting, but definitely we've seen a consistent high quality of films, and sometimes those high quality films will end up being all time travel films or all zombie films, or so it becomes a little difficult to try to create a diverse program for everybody to come to when we have such great talented filmmakers submitting films to our festival. But definitely for people that are coming, we try really hard to try to find something for every taste and quality. Our goal is definitely to help you find your next favorite film.
Now, you have the short films track for both horror and sci-fi and the feature films track for both horror and sci-fi. I've noticed...
And then a showcase.
Okay, so there's a feature.
We have a horror and sci-fi competition track, horror and sci-fi short film competition track, and then a showcase track.
Excellent. So I noticed that the submissions entry process started a little earlier than usual. Have you guys been getting an increase in submissions every year?
Every year we see an increase. This year, the numbers were really high for everything, for shorts and for feature length. And because we only have a few programmers available, it takes them a little bit longer to get through the viewing process to make sure we're giving every film its just right, you know, screening every time we do our considerations. So we did open up a little bit earlier this year just to kind of give a little bit of room for our programmers to have enough time to watch these films. And we saw a lot of submissions. So I kind of watch over a majority of the programs, but I take it into the hands of our direct programmers to kind of field their voices, and I trust their decisions. Michael Stackpole, Danny Marianino, and Brandon all do a wonderful job of organizing our program.
Excellent. So I'm guessing they had a harder time of it this year just because of the volume of submissions.
Yes, definitely. Definitely. We see so much, and, you know, because we are playing with the Phoenix Film Festival, we'd love to program an entire day's worth of movies, but, you know, we're given a certain amount of time slots that we have to fill, so it becomes pretty difficult to break it down from, you know, over 100 submissions down to 10 submissions and down to five or six submissions. So it's pretty difficult.
Now, how do the competition tracks work? Are those just for the finished films, or are those for screenplays too?
We do have a screenplay competition for both horror and for sci-fi. and they that works a little separately. So our screenplay division is just for screenplays. Our feature length is for finished feature films or finished short films.
Now, do you guys have a, I guess, a criteria for what you're looking for in the competitions versus the regular programming tracks?
Our criteria is kind of, again, it kind of falls back into that realm of diversity. We're looking for, to try to find quality films that have unique visions that are trying to tell us some kind of good narrative. It's difficult sometimes because there have been some films that we've seen that have had stunning visual style but don't have a cohesive story, or some that have wonderful stories but not the best visual filmmaking elements. So it does become pretty difficult. However, this year in our sci-fi features program, I believe all three films that we have on there have to do with some aspect of time travel. So speaking about the diversity part, this is one of the years where like we found three excellent films that unfortunately or fortunately all tie into time travel in a different way, shape, or form. But they're all fantastic films, and you know, Mike Stackpole did a pretty amazing job selecting those ones.
Now, do you usually see films come in similar themes per year, or is this just a phenomenon that's happened the past couple years?
We always see a theme of films coming differently. A few years ago, it was all zombie films. year before that, I think it's been, you know, we get the haunted house films. Horror seems to be a lot more diverse. We don't see them consistently. However, in sci-fi, we do see a lot of time travel stories. Time travel seems to be the, I think, for the last few years now, that's always been kind of a consistency where we've seen at least one film, you know, a couple films that have made our program that have been time travel based.
What do you look forward to most? I realize this is your first year being, you know, overseeing the entire festival, but what do you look forward to seeing or experiencing at the festival?
I started going to the festival in its first year as just a viewer, just a fan. That's where I started that. So I've been going to the festival since it began. And over the years, you know, you just get to know the programmers, you get to, you know, meet the filmmakers, and, you know, it was just by chance that I ended up becoming a consistent face every year at this event, that they gave me an opportunity to kind of help out with judging. And then I moved into helping out with the program manager position. And I was also like the VIP liaison for a few years. And then just by my wanting to be involved in the festival, I was fortunate enough to have the opportunity to become the festival director. I tell people my year kind of revolves around going to these film events, and the Phoenix Film Festival and the International Horror and Sci-Fi Film Festival have always been the two big highlights for me every year. And I tell people the reason why that is because it is a place where a lot of people who like what you like are there, and it's a place to kind of share those ideas and share that love for this specific genre, especially for those that are horror fans or sci-fi fans. You know, that they don't always have a place to go for a consistent amount of time where they can be around these people that like and are doing the same things they're doing. Not to mention those that are wanting to become aspiring filmmakers or aspiring storytellers. This is the place to be at, because a lot of times we're fortunate enough to have the creators of these films come and support their film, to support their work. So it's not uncommon to see a director or a producer or the actors or the writer at the festival watching the movie with you. And it's a great opportunity for those that are trying to, you know, maybe want to write a screenplay, or maybe want to try their hand at making a short film, that these people that have done it will be there to, you know, a lot of them are very open to talk about their experience in the festival. So, you know, this is definitely an event for those who are film fans who just like watching them, but also those who want to maybe become involved in making some.
Now, do the showcase films or any of the other feature or short tracks, do those feature question and answer sessions with the filmmakers who do show up, who do come to the festival?
Yeah. Yep. Most if we know that a director or actor or anybody involved in the film is going to be there, we'll always offer time after the screening to do a Q&A. We do educational workshops as well too, where we invite these creators to come and sit on stage and answer questions about narrative composition or score composition or how to work with actors or how to fund your film. You know, we have a lot of different educational tracks that we promote there. So they're definitely available to talk with.
Yeah, that part's always fun for me because you know, like we're doing now, I love asking the questions that really get to the heart of being a filmmaker or a storyteller or a producer or a director. The people that actually get the stories out there for people to consume, that process has always intrigued me.
Yeah, and the one thing that when I was just coming as a fan to these events, I remember I was wanting to make my own short film, and I had no background in filmmaking except for a bunch of classes I took when I was in college, but I never had any time on a set, and it was just by chance that I ended up sitting having lunch with someone who right next to the table where the filmmaker was for a short film that I liked. And I just kind of leaned over and asked him, you know, how he, you know, kind of struck up the conversation, and they're very generous in sharing their experience. And I was lucky enough to, you know, kind of, they gave me some people to contact, and I was able to get on the set and see kind of how, you know, people were doing it. And that was the beginning of me wanting to, you know, accomplish a film. So.
Now, are there any particular titles, any particular features or shorts that you are excited that are screening here that you can't wait for other people to actually sit down and enjoy them?
Oh, definitely. They're all phenomenal. They're all really special to me. But the ones that I'm really looking forward to is we're fortunate enough to have a major film release at our festival, a movie called High Rise, based on the J.G. Ballard novel inspiring Tom Hiddleston. That will be our Saturday night film. So it's a phenomenal sci-fi film. And I think it's also coming from Ben Wheatley, who is a director who just has stunning vision. Like when you talk about visionary directors, he's always one of those guys I put in that category. He's done some phenomenal work as a filmmaker, and to see his version of this beloved, you know, novel come to life, especially with the actors that he has attached to it, it's a really fantastic movie. That's our Saturday night film. Our Friday night opener is actually a Sundance Film Festival kind of breakout. It's called Under the Shadow. Under the Shadow is a story about a kind of a haunted house story, but it's Iranian. It's an Iranian film. And just a phenomenal group of actors. It's kind of playing on that, in that realm of like the movie The Conjuring or the Insidious films where you got these hauntings going on, and it's just phenomenal. There's been nothing but great reviews from people who said it's like really scary and they really enjoyed the film. We have a clown horror film coming out as well too called Bad Wet. It is going to be our Friday night second showing. So for all those fans of It, or for all those fans that just want to try to get over their clown fear, this is the movie to come out to. I'm sure there are a few of those out there, right?
There are. My entire impression of clowns changed when I first saw Poltergeist many, many, many years ago.
Yep. For me, it was always Pennywise waving at people with a balloon off the side of the road in Stephen King's adaptation. That was always a creepy movie from when I was younger. In our sci-fi feature competition, I suggest all three movies that are being should bear displacement, directed by Kenneth Matter, just a phenomenal movie. Great actors inside that one. There's another one called The History of Time Travel. It's directed by Ricky Kennedy. It's a fictional documentary about the creation of the world's first time machine, and kind of what would happen if that time machine existed. And then Parallel, directed by John Turk and Keith Nicholson, about a mathematician who travels through time in search of knowledge that would allow him to control his life. Kind of a character piece of all great, great works from our sci-fi department.
Well, the festival, for anyone who's going to be in the Phoenix area, runs from April 7th through April 14th. At the Scottsdale 101 complex on Mayo Boulevard, correct?
Yep, Harkins 101 out there.
Yep. So everybody who's in the Scottsdale area or in the Phoenix Valley area, go check it out. It's you've got the Phoenix Film Festival and the Horror Sci-Fi Film Festival running sort of together. Is there one dedicated theater, or do you guys have all the night programming? Because I know they've done it different ways.
We have a dedicated theater that will be showing horror and sci-fi primarily, and then during the evenings, we branch out to get into a few more theaters as well, too. But we do have a dedicated theater that will happen.
Excellent. Now, is the schedule of what screening, is that available on the website yet?
Yep, it's available on www.phoenixfilmfestival.com. You can go to that website, and you'll see a list of times and descriptions of the movies, and some of them even include trailers and other websites that you can check more out about them.
Cool. And people can buy tickets online as well as at the theater, yep. Right?
Yeah, people can buy them online. They can get them at the theater. I always advise people, if there's like one movie that you really want to look to get into, like for instance, if you really want to go watch High Rise, I suggest getting your tickets a little early, just because those bigger films are usually the ones that end up selling out first. And it's not uncommon for Friday to come along and then within a matter of a few hours, we'll be completely out of tickets. So if there's really something you want to see and it seems to be kind of in that 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock primetime slot, definitely schedule ahead.
Well, Monty, thank you for your time today.
No problem. I appreciate you. I'd like to give a little shout out to, kind of the people that have helped make this come along. Mm-hmm. Brendan Kitchen and Danny Marianino are my horror short film, or horror programmers. And Michael Stackpole does a fantastic job on the sci-fi side. And Jason Carney is our executive director for the Film Festival. Without him, this event would not happen. So the success of our festival exists because of the wonderful volunteers that we're able to bring out and these dedicated people who love the genre as much as I do, so I appreciate all their help.
Yeah, we are longtime fans of both festivals, and Mike Stackpole is also a longtime friend of the show, so we appreciate the hard work all of you do, bringing us such a rich festival experience every year.
Excellent. Thank you. I look forward to seeing everybody out.
That's phoenixfilmfestival.com for more information. And we'll be back with more Slice of Sci-Fi right after this.
Slice of Sci-Fi.
Hey, you. Stop hiding behind that sofa. Come out from back there. Your sofa wants to talk to you. Wants to play footsie with your mind. Listen to it. Relax. Let it in. Starship Sofa, the first podcast ever to win a Hugo Award, with weekly stories from the world's best authors, Michael Moorcock, Peter Watts, Joe Haldeman, Peter F. Hamilton, and many, many, many more, with news and reviews and interviews. Bradbury, Pole, Wolfe, and Mieville, the sofas chewed the fat with them all. Facts and fictions, articles and particles. Oh, why aren't you listening? StarshipSofa.com. your best science fictional fix this side of the coffee table.
Well, first of all, let me apologize for Monty's audio. It sounded better during the call than it did during the editing. And maybe next time we can actually get a sit down and just talk about indie movies, film festivals, all that fun stuff that makes life as a sci-fi geek just delicious. How's that? Yes, we do have a field reporter going to the film festival. So hopefully we'll get some really cool reviews and reports from that excursion. And as always, we love the International Horror and Sci-Fi Film Festival and its affiliation with the Phoenix Film Festival because we like movies, don't we? We have a little bit of contest news. If you haven't been to the website recently, check it out before next week, because next week's show will feature an interview with Dr. Gregory Pence, or Professor Gregory Pence, who is a bioethicist, and he has written a new book about bioethics and cloning as relates to the topics we see in Orphan Black. The title of the book is What We Talk About When We Talk About Clone Club, and we are giving away two copies of the book. So come to the website, follow the instructions, and win yourself a copy of What We Talk About When We Talk About Clone Club, thanks to Smart Pop Books. And like I said, that interview will be coming up next week. Kevin Batchelder from Tuning Into Sci-Fi TV joins me as we talk bioethics and cloning and using Orphan Black as a vehicle to explain these terms to your average person who doesn't study genetics and cloning. And we also talk about how accurate the show's portrayal of what's happened so far to the clones, how scientifically accurate it all is. So stay tuned for that. The most interesting news to come out of the past couple of weeks, April 26, 426, in honor of LV 426, is going to be Alien Day. And there are lots and lots of goodies coming about to honor the Aliens franchise. And I think the one thing I saw was Reebok is actually reproducing the red and white boot sneakers that Ripley had on in Aliens for a limited time. I think the sneaker collectors are going to lose their collective minds over that. I'm not that interested in the sneakers, although I think it would be kind of cool to see a real pair in person. Me, if somebody would reproduce those high-tech, was that the brand? High-tech? Yeah. H-I-T-E-C, those combination sneaker boots that they had back in the, I'm going to say, late 80s, early 90s. If somebody reproduces those, I'll be in line to buy a pair because I miss those shoes. Those were awesome shoes. What else do we have? Oh, yeah. The changing of the licensing of Doctor Who for streaming media. I noticed that it had disappeared from Hulu and wondered why. And then I saw that it was disappearing from Netflix. And I saw the panicked Twitter people going, hey, what's with my Doctor Who not being on Netflix or Hulu? And the BBC Twitter accounts replied, no, it wasn't the BBC Twitter accounts. It was the Hulu Twitter account that said, we can't control the licensing agreements. Once they're up, they're up. And it turns out that Doctor Who is no longer on Hulu and Netflix because they signed an exclusive deal with Amazon Prime Video. Now, what I haven't seen yet is if that includes the classic Doctor Who. The announcement that I saw only included the modern Doctor Who. It didn't include the classic, so I don't know why the classic Doctor Who also disappeared from Hulu, because I know a lot of people were using that to catch up, to familiarize themselves with the older Doctors. So I'll keep my eye out on Amazon to see if the classic Who's end up there as well. But the announcement only covered series 1 through series 8 of the modern Doctor Who, saying that series 9 would come later in the fall, in addition to the Christmas special, Husbands of Riversong. And a lot of movies jumped back on Netflix. We got Blade Runner. We got Explorers. Explorers is on there. And Scrooged, my second favorite Christmas movie of all time. I don't know why they didn't put it back on in time for Christmas. Either that or I just didn't notice it. I'm not sure. And yes, before you ask, my favorite Christmas movie of all time is Die Hard. So, there you have it. But we'll talk more about alternative options for watching television later. I know I'm all excited to watch Winona Earp to get really down and dirty with Stitchers, seeing what happens in the last few episodes of Lucifer, seeing how Hunters plays out. Looking forward to 12 Monkeys, yes! Oh, goodness gracious. So much TV, so little time. Anyway, that will do it for this episode. If you have any questions or comments, please feel free to call. That number is 602-635-6976. Leave a voicemail message, or you can email summer@sliceofscifi.com with your questions and comments there as well. Please leave us a review on iTunes. It really helps to show people that other people are enjoying the show. And if you're not enjoying the show, let me know so I can do something about it. Because I can do that now. I have the power! Check us out on Twitter. It's @SliceOfSciFi. Check us out on Google+, SliceOfSciFi. And of all, as always, the website is SliceOfSciFi.com. We also have WritersAfterDark.com. PopCultureGeeks.com, KickAssMysticNinjas.com, and It'sComicBookDay.com. You may have seen the dueling Batman vs. Superman reviews. The less forgiving review was from our Comic Book Day editor, Michael J. He has a lot more invested in the comic book side of Batman and Superman, and he was not as enamored with the movie as a lot of other people seem to be. But that's how comic book movies go. You're going to have people on all sides, people who are just passingly familiar with them from a pop culture point of view, people who are casual comic book fans who enjoy the movies more than the comics, and you've got the diehards, the purists, who think the comic books are canon, and unless the movies stick as closely to the comics as possible, it just ruins the experience for them. And then you've got people in the middle who aren't as invested or married to the story canon. We just want good story, period. And no, I have not seen Batman vs. Superman yet. It's on my list. Thank you, everyone, for your donations. Your support does keep the show going and keeps the websites hosted and keeps the media for the shows online. If you want to help in contributing to supporting the show, you can go to patreon.com/sliceofscifi and become a patron. There are varying levels of patronage that you can sign up for. There will be perks. Later on, there will be perks. Still working out the logistics of that, but there will be perks. And, of course, I cannot forget my good friends over at Sci-Fried, the geek rock band with plenty of soul. You can check them out over at sci-friedband.com. They're the ones who grace the intro and outro music of this show. So if you like geek rock and you like what you hear here, go over there and check them out and tell them Summer said hi. But that will do it for this show. We will be back with more Slice of Sci-Fi next week. Take care.